Jones.
And Mike. Real radio for real people who are real enough to realize they really still have a few things to figure out. Jones is a hockey-playing, city-living, vegan bachelor who practices transcendental meditation when he's not biking to shows and Cub games. Mike's a beer-swilling married father of four from suburbia. His motorcycling, marathoning, and martial arts are pretty much on the shelf while he limos children all over town to their activities for the next decade.
Sound familiar?
It's, you know, shit dudes say.
About family.
Women.
Philosophy.
Politics.
History.
People.
Money.
Pop culture.
Kids.
Fighting.
Business.
Life. Join the conversation. 312-957-7210. Hashtag Jones and Mike. 24/7. Worldwide. At jonesandmike.com.
This hour, it's the good, bad, and ugly of the World Series. Plus, we rate the champs roster and make ludicrous predictions. Just wait until next year.
This is Jones and Mike.
Jones and Mike.
Jones, I'm on day three of detoxing. I don't think I sound or look very good. Would you agree?
You don't sound good. You have just kind of a fuller, like, mucusier sound. I think your body is kind of reacting to what you've been doing to yourself.
That's right.
Your celebrations over the last few days.
That's right. My liver is just barely hanging on at this point. It has been a wild ride, dude. But I am going to detox from this moment.
For the ball in the dirt, and if you think you've got the opportunity, steal a bag, because the odds of getting multiple hits here with two outs, although the Indians have done it before.
I don't know why you're
Here's
doing
the
this.
This is going to be a tough play. Wyatt, the Cubs win the World Series!
It's so emotional.
It's over, and the Cubs have finally won it all! 8-7-10!
Isn't it unbelievable?
Like, I get a little verklempt every time I see it, and I've been watching it, like, almost on repeat.
I know. I have to stop every time I see it, too.
And you're like, shh, as if you never saw it before.
It is incredible. And you know what, for me, well, I mean, there are so many things that are incredible about it, but everyone talks about this game and the roller coaster ride, and if they were going to win it, it was going to have to be this way. When I was at the bar watching Game 7, that's what everyone was saying around me. Like, everyone was agonizing, but at the same time just going, if they were going to win, you just know it would have to be this way. It would have to be the other team coming back, home runs, stolen bases, a rain delay. Like, it just seemed like it was ridiculous. But during the game, I did turn to my sister and I said, I feel like this game's going to be 8-7.
Oh, no kidding. Really?
I did. I absolutely
did. Oh, that's awesome.
Did.
Wow.
And what was great was,
great job,
when the Indians scored that seventh run,
yeah,
everybody in the bar was just destroyed. Just like, oh.
Oh, really?
And all of a sudden it hit me. And I was tapping my sister. I was like, remember what I said? 8-7. 8-7. And I just got this amazing sense of calm. And I just looked at her. I was like, we're going to win this game.
Oh, my God,
like,
dude.
I felt like I had
clairvoyant.
Seen it before. Yes.
Yeah. Well, your theory. You know everything when you're born, and you just have to remember
it.
Yeah.
Yes. Isn't
crazy,
that crazy?
Dude.
During the game, I was like, I see this going to 8-7.
And so people in the bar, what bar were you in?
We went back to A.J. Hudson's, where, and it wasn't because of any superstition, but that just bar is worked out on us. It's west of the ballpark on Grace. And that's where we were at when they won the pennant.
Oh, my God.
That's where we saw them win the pennant.
So you're kind of like a baseball superstitious type of dude.
No, I don't do that.
Oh.
But it just happened to work out that day. I got off the red line on the day of Game 7.
Okay.
And as I was walking around trying to find a bar, like, everything was just packed, lines. It was not happening to get close to the ballpark. In fact, one of my sister's friends got inside the Irish Oak on Clark Street. And I was like, okay, well,
that's weird. Don't they call you the Irish joke?
God.
Or is it jerk?
Anyway, She got this table inside the Irish Oak, and I was like, oh, she got a table. Well, then I should get there early so she's not fending off people for hours.
Yeah.
But then I was like, oh, man, is there a cover to get in?
You can only, like, put your coat on a chair for so long.
Yeah.
Lay your leg over like it's broken.
Right, before it gets really ugly. And then it was, like, $50 to get in. I was like, and then Eileen didn't know what to do because she's like, well, my friend's waiting. And then all of a sudden she had other friends that were there, so it wouldn't have been as bad. Like, it was just this whole roller coaster. And the whole time I'm, like, texting her, like, look, if I pay $50 to go in here, you cannot tell anybody that I did this. Because I just didn't want to be one of those I paid cover to go watch a game in a bar guys.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's game seven of the World Series, though, man.
I know, but the thing is, like...
How committed to your principles are you?
Well,
apparently
it's just
not at all.
It's just one of those... No, I didn't go in. I went... We stuck to our guns. We went to AJ Hudson's where they don't charge you cover.
Yeah, okay.
It just doesn't seem like the Chicago thing
no
to do.
No cover at AJ Hudson's. Crazy.
Yes.
I mean, why would you pass up on, you know, an extra, what, 10 grand?
They just don't want... Well, I don't know. I don't know how much you really rake in on that. They just didn't want to do it, and I was grateful for that.
Hmm.
So,
Yeah, like, I want to see a study now. Did people, like, buy less drinks because they had to pay more cover? Like, did bars end up screwing themselves?
I don't know. I bet you not. People get caught up in the moment, and they're just going and going and going, you know?
And so you were at AJ Hudson's, and people were, like, audibly and visibly dejected when the Indians...
Got that seventh run. Oh, I mean, at any
Oh, the
point.
Seventh run. So in the 10th inning, and they were mounting a comeback with a runner on first, which we just heard.
Yes.
Or were they dejected when they tied it up in the 9th?
Oh, the tied in the 9th was bigger.
Like, because, I wish you would have recorded that.
What? Well, I'm not going to know. Like,
well,
oh,
because
well,
you know
Rajay
that I love,
Davis.
I love hearing the dejection a little bit.
You're so bizarre with that.
Well, so you
bizarre.
Didn't get the dejection, but you got the fun.
One out away.
That's you. Yeah.
Steal it back because the odds of getting multiple hits here with two outs.
Your anus was clenched here, admit it.
There's the one. This is how much I play.
Oh, people are going crazy.
Was it like when we were at Palmer's and I hugged the guy next to me when the Hawks won in 2010?
That went, people were hugging each other all night. That was, I mean, so many people, you just walk up to anybody like, ah! And they're all hugging each other and going wild. And the funny thing was, I listened to the whole game like I had like a little earbud in listening to Pat Hughes. Hmm. So there's a little bit of a gap there. So I knew like we won the World Series like a second and a half beforehand.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And it was awesome to just look around and just be like, this place is gonna flip.
Wow. Unbelievable. I kept intending to listen to the radio, but like who has a radio in their house anymore? So it was very difficult for me to do that, so I ended up not. So I suffered through Joe Buck. He even botched the final call. Not a hard play. Like,
yeah.
It would have been great if he started the call earlier, but, like, he honestly psyched me out halfway through the play because I'm like, oh, this is a hard play?
Well, I guess maybe if Bryant's rushing it, he throws it away. He airmailed a ball earlier in the series.
Well, right, but on a way harder play going away from first, right? Wasn't it like, didn't he have to like whirl around and he just
sailed
it into the seats?
Yeah. So,
yeah, but, during his two errors on the same play, right? Or in the same inning?
Yeah, I think it was in the same inning. But yeah, for me, I just had to listen to the voice that I had been listening to doing Cubs broadcasts all.
Yeah, since
for like
the
20
90s.
Years now. Yeah.
Right.
I had to hear what those guys were saying.
Right. And so I'm glad you got that moment of euphoria. I really wish you would have gotten the moment of dejection. Like, was it quiet? So by the way, as you know, I'm drinking whiskey on the rocks alone
Classy.
In my house. Like, how depressing. Right?
Yeah, I know. And it's funny. You know what I should have done? God, if I could even find him and pull him up now. But when you started sending me voice texts...
Oh, no.
During the game,
oh, jeez.
I did save some of them. And, like, you could tell earlier in the game, it's like, I don't know why Baez didn't try to do that right there. And then by the end of the game, you can tell that you had a couple in you because you were just like, here's the slot for next year. what we have to do. Like, you can just tell.
Seriously? Come on. Well, read one and let me hear how incoherent
it
is.
Well, let me see if... No. I'm talking about when you were sending me the voice messages.
Well, yeah, but I mean, even like, you know, I know my texting gets a little bit out of hand when I'm getting out of hand.
Right. Well, it's going to be... Let me see.
There's some kernels of genius in there, I'm quite sure.
We may have to actually come back to it, although I'm now starting to find some of it.
Okay. Well, okay. More on the incredible nature of this quite obviously a historic event, but the yin and the yang of it. Watching it in public, watching it alone, so sad. But also the flip side of it, I did see some ugly sides of people in the wake of this, Jones. And they have to be dealt with. We cannot stand for this ugliness. This should be nothing but positivity.
This is a time I think we should stand for it all.
More on the Cubs, Jones and Mike.
Another Pacific Rim Omega customer speaks.
My name is Tony G. I was very impressed by taking the product and the purity of the pharmaceutical grade of the omega-3 fish oil. I really felt very, very good by taking the product. As far as my mood, I noticed the collagen in my face and some of the lines that have disappeared, my nails, my hair. I highly recommend this product, Pacific Rim. I really, really enjoy the product, and I look forward to purchasing more products in the future.
Find out what Tony and thousands of other people know. Pacific Rim Omegas are the best thing you can do for your health. And get 59% off your order right now when you take advantage of this special exclusive offer. Go to radio.mydailyomega.com right now and save 59% off your order of Pacific Rim Omegas. Or call 877-324-4227. That's radio.mydailyomega.com. radio.mydailyomega.com.
Jones and Mike Worldwide at jonesandmike.com. 312-957-7210. Hashtag Jones and Mike.
Jones, I don't know if you heard this, but this was the audio from in front of Wrigley Field for the final out of the game. It's awesome. There's a video of it on Jones and Mike's Facebook page, facebook.com/Jones and Mike. Check this out, dude. This blew my mind, actually. With the marquee in the background, there's thousands of people out there. I mean, that's sending chills. I have chills.
Oh, it was incredible. Incredible.
Like, literally, I imagine there's a guy with a transistor radio, and he has it jacked up.
Yes.
And then it's just slowly like a wave, well, very quickly, but like a wave goes throughout the crowd, the euphoria.
Everybody, we've won the World Series!
Unreal, dude. That is a great video from someone named Jenny Mikowski on Fox 32 Chicago.
Yeah, no, it was unbelievable. Just that whole environment down there after Game 7, when we won the pennant the week before. I've been going down there like every day. I've gone down there. Yeah, I went down there yesterday, the day before.
But yesterday? Well, obviously for the parade, but you were down there the day before the parade?
Yeah, because the in between, I went down, I took the day off from work.
So, okay, so this ends on, now I need to revisit here. It ends on Wednesday night.
Yes.
And on Thursday, what was happening down there on Thursday?
People were just walking around the ballpark.
Really?
Just
so people wanted to get like photo ops in front of the, you know, World Series on the marquee.
Right, yeah. And then I went, and it was like 11 in the morning. Murphy's was like full business. It was great. Just that was one of my favorite parts. Was sitting at Murphy's at 11 a.m. Had a beer. Everybody was in the best mood.
Really?
It just stood out. Like, and over these last 2 weeks, from when we won the pennant, and I told you walking around the ballpark that night, everyone was so cool. No one was pushing, shoving. If you got bumped, sorry. Everyone was relaxed. I went back the day after we won the pennant to hang out at Murphy's. And everyone, it was the most relaxed I think I'd ever been in the city of Chicago. People were just, it was like they were sitting in the middle of a park. They were just so relieved to have this burden off of them, and we made it to the World
Series. That's crazy.
Then you go through this whole week, and you have this miracle finish, And then the next day, you're just hanging around Murphy's and people are just walking around. I found myself doing this, just walking around, and for no reason, you just start burst out laughing. I have to look like a maniac. I was talking to a guy who was next to me at the bar at Murphy's, and he would just finish what he was saying, and then all of a sudden, he would just...
You just start giggling.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
Oh, man.
You're like, you just couldn't believe it. And then we went back. Now, I didn't go to the parade. That's not really my thing. But
yeah.
After we left, we got out of work early and then went up. Some people wanted photo ops in front of the marquee again. And we walked around the ballpark again. People were just like in the best mood, just hanging out. Everyone was chilled out. Even when it was packed to get on the L to go up to Wrigley yesterday. And I'd never seen this before. Absolutely jam-packed in the L. And as we would head north, you'd pull up to a stop, and it would be full. And people would be like, it's full. No one else can get on.
Yeah.
Now, whenever that happens,
people
there's always people who
off.
Try to jam in. Everyone's like, okay, no problem. I was like, that's never happened.
Really?
That's never happened. Like, everyone was just relaxed. We'll get there when we get there.
Wow.
We're the champs. Like, I was always kind of worried that there would be a reverse reaction. Like, I've got to get down there now. This is magical. That wasn't happening. Everyone
was
so...
Hey, humanoids, good job.
Everyone was just so chilled out, just so happy. I mean, even, you know, humanoids, when we were on the verge of winning a title or just going to a game seven... Just were so happy and couldn't even, you know, believe it.
Finally.
Dude, how fucking crazy that we're fucking talking like this. It's November 1st. This is so unbelievable. Like, it really is the most unbelievable thing that I don't want to say that it has ever happened to us. I've had some pretty cool things happen to me. You've had some pretty great things happen to you. But this is... fucking unbelievable.
As soon as I got that message,
was in
like,
full effect.
As soon as I got that message, I was like, I have to hang on to that. I have. Because the earlier messages are always just kind of like, I don't know why Fowler doesn't try to go to second on that. And then by the end of the night, I can't believe it.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
When I start talking like this, you know that I've had too much whiskey on the rocks, Jones.
Oh, it was incredible. Just the whole scene all the way around, it's still just, I don't want to say it's impossible to process, because like I do feel I get it when people are like, has it sunk in yet? It was almost like, for me, it almost sunk in immediately, because I almost felt like I had my whole life to think about this. But... like, there's just such a deeper emotion to this whole thing. Like,
Did you cry, Jones?
I did.
Like, a tear roll down your face?
Yeah. Yeah,
oh,
just like that emotion.
My.
Yeah, I was into
seriously?
It.
Seriously?
But wait a minute.
You're off the show.
Oh, you're calling me out on that? Interesting, when I came here this morning, your wife informed me that she saw you crying a couple of
BS.
Times.
No,
she,
negative.
That's what she said. Those are the words she said.
Well, she can
so
say whatever she wants.
So you can get down here on the mic.
No, I got, a little bit of wetness when my father died in 2005. And then before that, it was 1988 when my grandma died. That's it. Two times I've cried as a pseudo-adult over the age of 10.
I can't say that you're lying.
Oh, you know
I'm
what? I cried
saying...
at Marquette when I broke my hand and I couldn't wipe my butt with my left hand. And you saw that, man. You saw me. I had a breakdown because I was like, I can't comb my hair. I can't wipe my ass. This is the worst decision I ever made, breaking my hand.
I would rather cry at Game 7 of a World Series.
You're right. But that's how few times I've cried in my life. I'm just not a crier, dude.
But when I
But
came,
you cried and you saw other men crying?
Not really. Not a lot of
good.
That like blubbery crying. And it was like just that emotion of like, yeah, like when you're just releasing so much, you know, and you're kind of like there's other stuff that's like at work when the Cubs won the World Series. Like even when they won it, like I turned to my sister, I gave her a hug and my first words were, it's over. Like, this burden of this. It wasn't even like we won the World Series. It was like, it's over. It's finally over. And then what was crazy was the next day, you know, I took the day off work. Mm. I did, like, this whole sojourn throughout town. Went out to my parents' gravesite, put W flags
up. Oh, really? Awesome.
I did the whole thing. And one of to like top off like the my three favorite parts of that day, the day after the World Series. It was nice. I went out there and put up the W flag for mom and dad. And while I was out that far south, I thought to myself, God, the bar owner at McNally's, who kept always putting up the signs of like, go Cleveland, Cubs suck, you know, that kind of thing.
Free beer every time the Cardinals score a run against the Cubs.
Yeah, I thought, I wonder if he bothered to do anything, or she, whoever is doing this.
Yeah, it's a dude.
It's a dude, he's but a I douche. Have to be, it's 2016.
Yeah.
I have to honor women by assuming that they could be just as miserable by men. This is how we respect women.
That's
now.
That's right. Yeah, you
this
guys are every bit as despicable now. As we are.
So anyway, I thought to myself, I wonder what the guy did at McNally's. I'm like, dude, it's like 15 minutes away. You should drive up there. My favorite moments, the beer at Murphy's, seeing the W flags at my parents' grave site. I always wanted to do that. And then when I drove to McNally's, oh my God, it was, it had to be like what Ralphie felt like if he were a real character from A Christmas Story when he beat up Scott Farkas. Just to pull up to McNally's, I took a picture of it, and the marquee said, all good things come to an end.
Oh, wow.
And I just loved it. I was like, and in a way, he did what Cub fans would have wanted him to do. He went out sour, and I couldn't ask for more. Even if he did something, I would have hated if he did something like, Cubs still suck.
That's right.
But just to know that you knew it hurt him. That it hurt him or her.
Although it's brilliant, you know, you can't put like half price brats on Wednesday. You got to put something because people probably were going there just like you did.
Well, now the funny thing is, I guess the bar has closed, but he's still just as while he's trying to sell the place. I thought it was still open.
Oh, wow.
He's still just, that's how miserable this guy is. he's still going out to a closed bar to change the marquee sign to Raz Cub Fan.
He puts the letters on the magnetic letters on the pole.
And
sticks him up there, and then he gets back in his Astro van, and he pulls away.
Crazy. But, like, it's a day that is, it's a moment that has meant so much to people. Like, it was like this emotional
Can I ask
day.
You, does that place close because there's no baseball? Is it like a Andy's Frozen Custard thing where they close down for winter? Because nobody's going to have ice cream in the winter?
No, I think the business is just closed. That's my
understanding. Oh, man. They have like nothing down there.
No, yeah. It's so sad. Shrinking.
Yeah.
But then when I came home, just to highlight like how emotional this event is. So I came back in to the city and I said, Eileen, let's go back up one more time to get Murphy's, grab another beer, because they still hadn't switched the Emus Cthulhu thing yet, and I wanted to get a picture of that, which they didn't even switch it out the following day. They didn't do it till the day of the parade. You would have thought that would have been an instant, like night of.
They should have hired that douche from McNally's. Hey man, bring your giant pole up here and help us change the Emus Cthulhu sign.
Yeah, he's on it. But anyway,
Eileen
and I went up to Murphy's, had another beer, drove back.
God. You guys are really alcoholics.
And then, we had two for the day. And then when we...
Me too. And then I switched to whiskey.
Yeah. No, you are a different breed from us. There's no question. But when we got back to my place, Eileen said, oh, and by the way, Jen, a woman that she works with, she goes, there's a gift that she has for you by your back door. And I'm like, oh, okay. And I go up there. Now, this is a coworker of my sister's. About 2 years ago, she had a baby. And then the following year, her husband passed away. He had been sick for a while.
Oh, my God.
So then she's a single mom, works with Eileen. And she and her husband were very close. And he had a lot of passions in his life in terms of music and sport and things like that. He was very particular. He wasn't just one of those guys, as I understand it. I didn't really know him, but as I understand it, he wasn't one of those guys that would just throw on music in the background. It had to be certain bands that he liked, or he wouldn't just sit around and watch a ball game. It had to be of a team he was passionate about or what have you. So I go out into my back porch. I pick up this paper bag. I reach inside of it, and there's like this 4-inch thick, like old school baseball encyclopedia. I pull it out, and there's a note inside of it. And it says, and you talk about like no crying in baseball. It says, Brian, a perfect ending. I'm glad 2016 was the year to win it all. Tim always told me baseball was the smartest of all sports. Game 7 was certainly the most exciting of them. Enjoy the win, bask in the glow, keep my favorite Cub fans encyclopedia as a nostalgic reminder of what is years worth of disappointments now floating into memory. Jennifer.
Wow.
I was just like, I leaned in there. I was like, no, I didn't cry, but I was just like.
See, now that's worth crying over.
I was like, no, I'm just being real to the moment. I was like, yeah. I don't even know what to say. Like,
I can't accept this.
It's crazy. Yeah. Like,
that better be on display right next to your David Bowie coffee table.
It's right in the middle. It's right in the middle.
You can't like let that.
It looks perfect. It looks perfect, like right in the middle of that. There was always just that space there, and it was like made for it.
Yeah, I've often looked at that space, and I'm like, how pathetic. Doesn't this guy have another coffee table book to lay out there?
And now I do.
Why does David have to be on an island like this?
He's no longer.
Wow, so that's really unbelievable,
man.
Crazy? That's really a cool gift.
Yeah, it is a very cool gift. A very cool gift.
Well, so that, I think, should have been cry-worthy, but there was other crying that was going on, and as you know, I'm not a fan of the crying. It turns out, like, I guess Chappie, you know, your fave.
I know.
He did not unload 8 rounds into the couch in the locker room. But he did, I guess, cry in the dugout after he gave up the home run in the 9th.
8 buckets worth of tears. Isn't it funny? Remember when we got him and I was like, we didn't need to get that guy, blah, blah, blah. He did not, we'll get to this. We will get to the players.
Mm-hmm.
But we really didn't need him. Like, what did he do?
Dude.
What did he do?
I think you got to give him more credit than that. I think that we needed him a lot.
No, we'll get to this, but. I mean,
okay.
For a guy
dude, if they didn't have him, you would have had who closing? Montgomery, I guess.
Yeah,
it turns out.
I would have trusted Montgomery.
For as poorly as he started out, we needed that guy big time.
Yeah.
Because without him, it would have been Stropey and Rondon, and there's no game 7.
That's fine.
Without Chapman.
That's fine. No, we still had Montgomery. We'll get into this.
Fine.
We'll move on.
We will. We'll talk about that in a little bit. So Chappie's crying, I guess, and I don't even know how that goes down. Like if somebody who speaks Spanish goes over and reminds him that he's Latino, not cool. Like, come on, dude. Man up, bro. However that sounds in Spanish, I'm sure it sounds sexy. But then I hear that Addison Russell, I guess, was crying in the locker room during the rain delay. And it's like, what? You think during the rain delay, that's when they regrouped, I guess, Jason Hayward, who I guess is a very quiet, but still a leader, but quiet, like rallied the troops in the locker room. And like Jed Hoyer, like, I guess, stumbled into it and then kind of witnessed it a little bit and then was like, all right, we'll let them have this moment because they were going like, you know, kind of WWE, like excited.
Yeah, yeah.
Crazy. That manly. So that was like the one cool story I'd heard. And then, of course, they came out. And sure enough, they won that game. It's not like the other team lost the game.
They won that game.
Yes. Now, you can debate if they should have even gotten to that point, and we won't even bother with that. But they did win it. Kudos to them. It seems like it's traced back to what happened in the weight room, locker room, inside the bowels of Progressive Field in Cleveland. But I guess also concurrent or preceding that event was Addison Russell crying. Like, what? Crying? Come on. What are you crying over? So I can't believe these people are crying. Then yesterday, Rizzo, while talking about Rossi, Grandpa Rossi, and how he's taught him how to be a champion and a better man and blah, 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 he kind of cries in front of a million people at Grant Park. And I'm like, oh, please, guys, I just want to remember this the way it was when you got that final out, when, like, you know, in slow-mo, have you seen how Bryant has a smile?
He's
like giggling.
Yeah,
he's like giggling as he picks up the ball and throws it over to Rizzo, and Rizzo, cool as ice, puts the ball in his back pocket, shades of the 2010 Blackhawks where that scummy ref, like, took the puck, and then it's never been seen again. Like, what an ass.
Yeah, it was. It almost seemed like Rizzo practiced that move.
Yeah, that was so awesome. Because, I mean, you would think you would, like, throw it up in the air.
Yeah.
Along with your mitt. So, I just want to remember that always. I don't want to hear about them crying and stuff. It's like, what?
Yeah,
so,
it was crazy.
So, I'm a little disheartened that you cried, bro. A little disheartened.
Yeah, but you cried too. You're just not admitting.
No, I did not. So
it's interesting that was one of the first things your wife said today.
Well, yeah, but you can't believe that thing that broad says. That broad doesn't even drink whiskey on the rocks.
That's why I believe her.
She takes it neat, just to one up me.
I'm just telling you.
I need it a little bit chilled.
You can say what you want, but I think I know the truth.
All right, so let's get into the only negative story that I really have. Like, I didn't see any cars burning or anything, but there is one important piece of negativity that came out of the World Series report on, and then we'll go through our predictions and our review, frankly, of the roster next. Jones and Mike. When it comes to finding a holistic doctor near you, where can you turn for help? When you need a cancer doctor who will advocate for a non-surgical, non-chemical course of treatment, where can you find her? When you need a chiropractor or acupuncturist, when you need help with ailments that many doctors and even hospitals just plain turn away, like Lyme disease, who can help you with natural solutions and strategies for diabetes? When you need help to find an integrative, functional, complementary, alternative approach, option, and practitioner, the Health Freedom Network is there. Since 2009, the Health Freedom Network has been a leading resource for natural medicine and health information and research. Now we're also your best resource to give you access to the top docs in a number of specialties, from cancer to stroke, and in modalities from chiropractic to dentistry. The Health Freedom Network's directory at healthfreedomnetwork.com. Better information for better choices. Find your new health practitioner at www.healthfreedomnetwork.com.
Jones and Mike Worldwide at jonesandmike.com. 312-957-7210. Hashtag Jones and Mike.
Jones, did you hear Miguel Montero on AM 1000 with Waddle and Sylvie yesterday?
No, I didn't. I mean, I was listening. For the last few days, I've been listening all over the place, whether it's national, local, whatever, but I did not hear that.
Yeah, so after the, you know, the parade and the rally and all that, and everyone's all toasted, like, those guys just were, I mean, they made me look like a piker. They partied.
That's hard to believe.
No, they did. Maybe we need to do a slurring side-by-side of me and
yes.
Miguel Montero.
Oh, it's the most unbelievable.
November 2nd, we're talking about the Cubs.
Yeah.
So he goes on the radio, and you know, as I'm told by, you know, Sylvie, Mark Silverman, your fave. I think you have a man crush on him.
That's the, what? What
they want to have him on because they want to give him like his just due for getting the game winning run, as it turned out, the eighth run to win Game 7 of the World Series.
And here's my prediction for the future on that. People are so, because Zobrist got the MVP. Maybe it's because he's white. Everybody keeps reacting to, like, Zobrist, the game. People keep mentioning that, like, Zobrist got the game-winning hit. And it's like, no, Zobrist got the game-winning hit at the time, but
yeah, yeah.
When they scored that seventh run, it's Montero bringing yeah. in Rizzo that won us the World Series.
That's right. So, you know, they want to give him his just due. This is a couple of minutes into the interview, admittedly. And Silverman asks him, hey, Miggy, what was your favorite part? Was it, or maybe it was Waddle. Hey, what was your favorite part, your favorite memory? Was it the Grand Slam? Was it the other home run? And he says it was catching the final outs, and that kind of surprises them that you know, he was really more of an offensive weapon than a defensive weapon, but it just turns out that he was playing defense at the end. By happenstance, he had to. And then he goes on a little bit of a jag here that you got to hear.
I mean, they always stay, man, with you, you know, but it was different for me, man. It was a different emotion because, you know, I didn't get any chance to play, you know, and I felt a little disappointment, to be honest, because, I don't know, I felt like I did a good job the regular season and then kind of left out a little bit, you know. It makes me feel a little bit not as important, or maybe like, I don't know, maybe I'm not as good to be in the lineup. I don't know. You know, make you feel that way. And I was a little disappointed, I'm not going to lie. But, you know, I never kept – I always stay positive, and I say, you know, I want to help the team some way or the other one. And if I'm not playing, I'm going to just help and just cheering for them.
Unbelievable.
With attitude.
It was,
yeah, so, I mean, yeah, I fast-forwarded a little bit there. So then, you know, Silverman's trying to, like, help him out and save him. And he's like, well, okay, that never-say-die attitude, that really is something admirable, right? So, you know, talk more about
quit
that.
Quit attitude.
Yeah, I mean, I think the toughest part for me was they never communicated me. And you can just – I mean, I'm a veteran guy, man. I mean, they talk about the veteran guys, the leadership, the veteran. But, yeah, well, you know what? got 11 years in the game. I got two all-stars, so I was expecting to be treated like a little better.
Oh.
I was expecting to at least get like
unbelievable.
You know, communication. Just let me know. Put me in the loop. What am I going to be? And I think that was the toughest part for me because I never understood what my role was going to be.
He talks about, like, I didn't even know if I was going to be on the playoff roster. And it's like, no, you were on the bubble. Why? Well, because you ended up the season, you had a good couple of weeks into the playoffs, but before that, you even admitted, I thought I was going to get cut in August. So that's how poorly I was playing.
So then it's mystifying that you think you were going to be used more in October. He's the one guy on the roster that you would have thought, him and, like, say, Chris Coughlin, that would have gone, I understand my role. Whatever they're going to ask of me, I understand my role. It's so disappointing to hear because you think, what, he had two hits in the playoffs, a grand slam to win game one of the NLCS, and then his other hit is a game-winning single that ends a 108-year drought.
Yeah.
And he's like, a little bit disappointed. It's like, no, Miguel, you can dine out on that in this town for the rest of your life.
Well, it sounds like maybe not. People are not even giving him credit, but
that's,
over
that's
time,
in his head.
People like us, purists, yeah, diehards, and people that didn't just start watching when he started playing well in September, we would give him his just due. Over time, he would be getting the free steaks and the BJs.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Probably from us. But, you know,
so
I gotta say, I think that's a little bit of that Latino heat machismo, like you disrespected me. And it's like,
this is what makes them great.
It is what, clearly.
It's what fuels them.
Clearly. Like Baez, Contreras, like those guys will make mistakes and then come back and avenge them. And you gotta respect that. So that is the good side of that Latino heat machismo-ness. And now we're seeing the other side of it. Or even if you're on the precipice of being declared a hero and you want to refuse it because you feel that you were disrespected. And it's like, what?
Yeah, you know, it's funny, but I think there is something to that. You look in the NLCS, or no, was it the NLDS? Baez got a key single up the middle where he was like over swinging. He was swinging for the fences. Then he shortened his stroke. And then he had a single up the middle that drove in a winning run. And he did that like kind of clapping thing with his hands.
Yeah.
And he was emphatic about it. And he said, the pitcher just was staring at me disrespectfully. He was staring at me for too long. Like,
oh my
it's
God.
Funny that he would see something that I wouldn't even doubt. The guy was like, wait, what? I was what?
Yeah,
but then
man.
All of a sudden, it's like, I will destroy you. I will avenge my name.
Yeah, like it's really, it is the, it's what makes them great, makes them a pains in the asses as well. So it's like, God, just, you know, take the win. Take the win. So I think you've seen Miggy for the final time.
I think you were going to see him for the final time anyway.
Well, right. It's like, dude, we needed your bat. They carried three catchers. Why? Because you were the third catcher added, and you were added as a bench bat.
Yeah.
So, you know, be happy. And, I mean, you'll get picked up by someone else, but I think you can't have that guy in the locker room after that.
No. Even if they were, I think he was gone anyway. But if they thought, you know what, we're losing Ross, we need a veteran presence, we'll bring him back. I think now after that, you got to go, okay, we move on from him, certainly.
Right. All right. So you know, up or down votes on the roster here.
Okay. I would like to do this. We've talked about the emotion. And typically our whole point is we're not policy wonks on politics, and we don't sit there and grind out every detail in the world of sports, even though we're big sports fans. Mm. But I think today is the day where we can bask in the glow of this long-suffering team, but also you and I indulge in our sports fandom. And I would like to go down the playoff roster and get your thoughts. I'd like to do a plus, minus, or one or two of the guys I feel just falls into that not applicable category.
Yeah, like an incomplete. Like getting an incomplete.
Matt Caesar, he didn't really do much, but you can't say, well, he didn't work hard enough to get in there. It's like he got an incomplete.
Right. All right. So here, I mean, I have like the full roster. Like there are names on here I don't even know.
I know.
Like
I know.
Gerardo Concepcion.
Well, it's annoying.
It's like the 40-man roster.
Yeah, but even when you click the 25-man roster on Cubs.com, they have all the crazies. So, well, but we know who was in, we know who wasn't. Do you want to start with the outfield or the pitchers, or what do you want to do?
Let's start with the outfield.
Okay.
All right. So I'll name the name. You give me the plus, minus, or incomplete, Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Albert Almora Jr. This is based on their playoff performance only, any of the three rounds that they were active for.
Yes.
Albert Almora Jr.
He would have gotten an incomplete, but for scoring at what was the time, the game-winning run. And the reason I give him a plus for that is when he was called into service, he was extremely engaged in his base running duties. It was critical. He was careful to run back to the bag so he could tag up to get to second base.
That's right.
Then he was scoring. You know, he was full tilt, full speed. He knew the way. It was kind of a Dave Roberts moment back in 2004 when the Red Sox got a pinch runner for Kevin Millar, and Dave Roberts stole second, and that started the whole turnaround for the Red Sox. Almora was extremely engaged in what he was doing on the base pass, and for that alone, I give him a plus.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They don't win that game without that that advance to second base.
He gets a playoff plus.
He does get a playoff plus. Chris Coughlin.
In the efforts of saving time, why don't we just even say right field and go Coughlin, Hayward,
that's right,
Soler.
That's right.
I will go... Wonderful speech in the locker room notwithstanding, I will go negative for right field. We got almost nothing out of any of them. Hayward made some nice base running plays, and he had a great speech, and I think he even had a game-tying like half hit at one point.
Yeah, he did get like a tapper to second that scored a run, RBI. You know, it's like,
But for what he was supposed to be, you have to give the right field.
Talk about a murderer's row lineup. If that guy comes in as his as the 265 career hitter you were decrying when they signed him last year, like, you don't give that kind of money to a 265 career hitter. And what does he do? He goes out and hits 231.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Could you imagine if he was just who he normally is on average, and then you had Schwarber, who probably, if he was healthy, could have hit 30 home runs, 100 RBIs. Like, where would this team have been? But... all that said, I will give right field. It's a negative. He can't do anything other than
that. Yeah, Soler, you missed your opportunity to get a big return on selling him. It's unfortunate. I was hoping that they would have pulled a a post or a waiver wire trade, whatever that phrase is, after the trade deadline, where it's harder to do a deal. I still was hoping that they were going to deal him.
Yeah, yeah, and I was always hoping he'd make good, but
and Joe kept going to him, hoping he'd, you know, recapture last season's postseason magic, and he not only was a blight in that lineup, but then he, you know, one of the one-run game that they lost at Wrigley on Friday, you know, Hayward gets to that ball, and Soler breaks on it late.
Yeah, yeah, it's, it was disappointing, especially he was amazing in the playoffs last year.
Yeah, and, you know, and it was tough to see Coughlin make the lineup and not Caesar. But I guess, you know, it depends, you know, the righty-lefty matchups is why Coughlin made the roster and Caesar didn't. So so Caesar, Soler, Hayward, Coughlin. Caesar's an incomplete.
Yes, Caesar's an incomplete.
But Soler, Hayward, Coughlin, minuses.
Collective, negative.
That's right. Okay, Kyle Schwarber.
No, plus.
Plus.
No question.
Plus, plus.
First hit of the year is in the World Series. It's remarkable.
Yeah, yeah.
He made good throughout this whole series. Changed that lineup completely. Do not win the series without him. He was unbelievable, and I can't even imagine what it's going to look like next year. They have to get a roster spot.
We'll get to the predictions next, but Dexter Fowler.
Dexter's a tough one because at times he played like a plus, at times he played like a negative. He wins in every game, so I can't say incomplete. He's one of the toughest ones because his bat, when it was dead, it was dead. And then all of a sudden, when it was alive. And he made great plays in the outfield. I'll say this. I'll give him a plus because his glove never betrayed him.
No, great diving plays. You give him a plus because he led off Game 7 with a home run. And getting a lead against Kluber was a huge psychological advantage.
Yeah. But when you look at the whole... when you look at the whole run of the playoffs, I have to say it's a barely plus. He got the plus on the last day of school.
Yeah, and that's all that matters, honestly. Every single one of those players contributed in Game 7. So it's hard to give any of them minuses, although we're going to for Soler and Hayward. All right, let's go to the infield.
And Coughlin.
Let's go to the infield. Javi Baez, plus or minus.
Oh, another tough.
Yeah,
you know what?
Stomach churning, isn't
it? I tell you what. Actually, it's a plus because the reality is we do not get to the World Series without him. He fell apart in the World Series, and even though he hit a home run in Game 7, but the two errors and just his overall, he went back to bad Javi Baez in the World Series, and I couldn't believe it. That bunt, I still don't know, and we'll never know if Madden's not covering for him or if Baez just lost his mind and decided, two strikes, I'm going to try a bunt. I never really bunted all year, but I'll try it now. I just couldn't wrap my mind around that.
I think that was a called play.
Yeah, and maybe it was, but regardless.
And he looked horrible trying it.
Yeah.
Whenever you stab at a bunt, not good, not good. It's clear you've never done it.
Yeah. But I have to say, he gets a plus, but he only gets a plus because in the NLCS, he and Bryant, they were the only bats we had. We don't win the pennant without him. We just don't. That whole team, until you got to like the last two games, they had just completely folded. I love Rizzo, and over the course of the playoffs, Rizzo absolutely made good. But for long stretches in the playoffs, and especially in the NLCS, he was just sitting there, third call strike, wouldn't show any fire or passion. You just go, oh, okay, and you turn around and walk to the. At least Javi was pumping his fists, he was clapping, he was making big hits, he was playing with energy that you could play off of. So I will give Javi a plus, and I give him a plus for his NLCS play, and he did win game one of the NLDS, and I was at that game.
Yeah, so we'll move on to Rizzo. I'm going to have to give him a plus because of his World Series performance, but up until the World Series, like, I didn't want my son Dominic to be Rizzo for Halloween. In fact, I wanted him to switch to be Rizzo from the Pink Ladies in Greece instead of being Anthony Rizzo. That's how poorly he was playing.
I was so shocked to see that, and I love Rizzo, and I know we had been talking about this in the run of the playoffs, like, what are you going to do with this guy? And it's like, you got to run with him, he'll make good. And just once you got into the first half of the NLCS and his play hadn't improved from the NLDS, it was just like, oh my God, is he going to get out of this? Like,
yeah, two
we're getting enough
in a
games
row. He goes to sleep.
For him to turn this around. And yes, he had big hits. As the games got bigger, he got big hits. He came through. He's a plus. But, boy, until he was a plus, he was almost a double negative.
Right, right. Zobrist.
Plus. Plus, because, he was huge in the World Series throughout. Even when we looked like we were struggling, he was the only bat, and Bryant a little bit too, that was hitting. So he's a plus, although he didn't look great in the first two series. I mean, it's amazing. We won the World Series, but if you go right down the line, Bryant is really our only field player that played well in every series. NLDS.
Yeah, the two errors in an inning notwithstanding.
No, but hitting wise, he was over 800 OPS at least. Yeah. 800, 900, 1,000. And he made some other great base running.
Oh,
he was the
there's
only
a woman
guy
I work with who is a big basketball fan, and she was like, oh, do you like the game? And I'm like, yeah, I loved it. And she's like, I don't really like baseball. It's not very athletic. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm like, you need to go and look at the tape of the first to home score that Bryant had. I'm like, athletic as hell. Legs like a gazelle. I mean, taking the right turns. The guy
was
awesome. A great slide at the end.
Yeah.
Didn't try to get fancy. I mean, you could say that, and you know what my other favorite moment was? Zobrist running over the catcher, dude.
I know, politely, like a good Christian man who stays within the rules.
Right. No forearm shivers.
No.
But he got the job done. Yeah, he actually could have hurt himself because he did not take the guy totally out.
He could have Lou Barnes'd his knees. It looked ugly. Yeah. But Zobrist gets a World Series MVP. He's going to get a plus. But it does kind of clean up the fact like he wasn't super awesome in the first two series.
Okay, so Zoe a plus, Bryant's for his blue eyes alone, he gets a plus from me, and the giggle on the pickup on the final out in Game 7, he falls to the ground giggling.
Yeah.
Giggling.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's awesome, dude. Like, his face was awesome there, so those guys all with plus. Addison Russell, for me, major negative. You don't cry in the locker room.
All right, well, I'm not going to give him, I'm not going to rate his crying. I will just look at his play. Oh, boy. That's another tough one because he swooned even through September. I mean, he really just went in the bag for us. And I know he hit the Grand Slam, you kind of know you're ultimately going to give him the plus because the hits that he came up with were big. But, man, that seemed to be a pattern that until these guys got pluses, they were almost double negatives.
Yeah, so and give him an incomplete. Give him a pass.
We'll give him a pass. I'll give him a pass. Yeah, and I think that's fair. He had major hits that we wouldn't have won without him, but overall his series play, and I mean series in any three of the series, was not amazing, and he was a 95 RBI guy. We really needed him to...
Yeah, they reached a point where he'd
come more consistent.
Up.
He was big, yeah. Grand slams. He had a six RBI game. It seems crazy that we're giving him a pass, but...
But he was striking out with runners in scoring position, which all year he had come through on. Hitting in a tough spot in the lineup, he still had 95 RBI.
Yeah. Yes.
I hate when people leave the S off.
I do, too.
The catchers, Contreras, Montero, Ross.
I will give them, as a collective... I'm going to give him a plus, where we just went collective right field negative, collective plus. Regardless of Montero's attitude, which was revealed at the end, where he felt underappreciated and underused.
You have disrespected me,
two
and I will avenge
hits.
That. Theo?
Yeah, two massive hits, an NLCS game-winning Grand Slam, and a World Series Game 7 winning single. That's massive. His defense, not good. It was why you couldn't put him in there. But when you put him in there, he came
through. Yeah, I really don't recall him being costly.
No.
But it just happened that way because if they would have run on him, they would have gotten second every time.
Yeah, absolutely. But that's why they didn't use him. But when we did need to use him at the plate, he came through. Grandpa Rossi, got to be a plus. I mean, he came
even though
up
he got
hits.
Knocked on his ass by a ball to the face.
Terrible! Oh my god,
he looked bad there. Like
I know, but like, how do you? He's already moving and shifting and trying to adjust to a ball that went what 58 feet. You know, it's crazy looking, but he came up with big hits. He was great defensively.
He looked every bit the grandpa there.
He did on that play, but you have to give him a plus on the playoffs. He was amazing in the playoffs. Big hits. Defense was excellent. Contreras. The only negative I would say on Contreras is he didn't hit well. Fine. But you don't
in the World Series, but the other two rounds, he did come up with timely hits.
Yes, for what you expect to get out of a catcher, he did come through. World Series did not come up with big hits. And then additionally, another negative on him is you got, as a catcher, you can't talk to umpires like he talks to them. He's a rookie. He's got to learn to shut up. But he gets a plus, too. They all get pluses. That was a plus position. In fact, I mean, even when you look at how we won the NLDS, our bats weren't hitting in that series. And how many runs did the pitchers and catchers score? They won that series.
Yeah. No question. The Giants are kicking themselves. How did we let the pitchers beat us?
Right.
Speaking of the pitchers, Arrieta. Plus or minus, Jones?
Arrieta, you got to go plus. Arrieta, you got to go plus. Yeah, he's a plus, for sure.
I'm going to give him a plus as well, although... You know, he expected him to be more of a horse than he was.
Well,
and he was still walking a lot of guys, and it's like, and really, hey, I got to say that from Joe West on, I expected Country Joe West to be horrible. I thought he was the best.
He was
the best of all the umps.
His tighter strike zone helped us.
Yeah, and I didn't feel like it was that tight. Like, you know,
wow, it's compared to the other guys, it was actually a strike zone.
He was calling lower strikes, which I appreciated because I felt like all the umps were calling chest high strikes, and it's like, you know, no, that's not. You can't be calling those. That's not fair. Like, you can't catch up to that. Anything over 90 at your chest, forget it.
Right.
So I thought that was more fair that he was calling the mid shin strikes. Arrieta's got a, you know, he can't ask for the type of more money that Boris is going to want and not be able to get out of the fifth like he was doing too many starts this year and certainly in the playoffs.
I'm just talking about the playoff performance. I mean, no, I give him a plus in the playoff performance. He didn't come up with any performances where you were like, he just absolutely let us down that day. He went to pieces. He was a plus. He's not like a Curt Schilling. That's for sure. And I think later in his career, as he's catching on, I think, and he wants to brand himself as like the tough guy, you know, kind of almost a Curt Schilling role. He has not proven that in the playoffs. Although Madden was quick on these triggers, so he wasn't really allowing people to pull it. But I don't think Arrieta proved that anyway. Regardless, he's a plus.
John Lackey. horse
well, Lackey's
horse
a plus. Lackey is a plus. And
he's
got to
let his teeth yellow up a little bit. They're too white. If you're going to get fake teeth, you got to make them look more natural.
And he sounds like just...
Like those teeth just don't fit his mouth.
He sounds like just a donkey, too. Like, when they asked him, like, what do you think about a 108-year curse? I don't know anybody that's 108 years old.
What?
He's just a...
That sounds like me after too many whiskeys on the rocks.
Yeah, well, you and Lackey do have a certain...
Je ne sais quoi?
Yeah, you do. You do.
I give him a minus. I give him a minus. Really?
I give him a plus. Here's why I give him a plus.
Tell me.
I will. In the NLCS when we were dying, and I was just screaming at the TV to show someone have some fire, some attitude. We had the ace of our staff scared to throw to first. We had, you know, a first baseman who had been clubbing it all year, just so meekly going, oh, strike three, I guess. Good call, ump. And
sorry, I barked at you
I
last
know.
Inning.
And then you just had our right field was just laying
a
down.
Dearth. Yeah, total
Russell
hole.
Was mystified as to what an RBI was, much less RBIs.
Yeah, and you're going to lose to a team that really had just Kershaw and Jansen. That's it.
Yeah. Lackey went into that game, and that was a pivotal game, I feel. That turned it around for us. He went in there. He was pissed off. He was fired up.
That dude's pissed off on Christmas morning, though.
I know, but they needed that. They needed that. They needed Javi Baez and his fiery Latino spirit. They needed Lackey just being this angry donkey on the mound, staring everybody down, screaming as he was coming off the mound, cursing out Madden as he was taking him out of the game. They needed to have someone show that emotion to say, no, I'm not letting go. It's not going this way. They had nobody on the team that had that attitude. Even Bryant, who was getting the job done, he wasn't getting it done with attitude, and that's fine. He doesn't have to be one of those guys. But you can't have nobody showing that kind of passion or attitude, and Lackey showed it in a game that I felt if we had lost that, it's over.
Yeah, I'll take the opposing view. For his teeth and for his surliness and for his pitching ability, negatives. Negatives, the guy's a five at this point in his career. Zestrizny, plus minus pass. Incomplete.
Incomplete. Pass. I mean, yeah. Pass.
Travis Wood.
I love Travis Wood, but I can't really, I have to say pass.
Okay. Pedro Strop.
I always find myself being a Pedro Strop fan because people want to walk away from him so quickly because of the hat. I really do believe
it's
that.
True. Everyone's so damn racist.
About the hat. Like, who cares?
Yeah. I don't like him. He always points to the sky. You know, Costas went after him famously for, like, you know, oh, he's praying to his higher power again.
Yeah, yeah.
So, they like, his emotion, his hat, and his Jesus loving rubs people the wrong way.
You know what? Out of a bullpen that really struggled or was a passer incomplete, I'll give him a plus.
Hector Rondon.
An incomplete, I guess. Strangely, we don't know why.
Negative. When he went in, he was shaky.
Yeah, true. Like, you could give him a negative, too.
And I got to say that probably Bazio and Madden were like, oh, he's got no movement. We cannot afford to put him in again.
Yeah.
He didn't cost us
you
big.
You could give him a negative.
But they saw something that, like, I'm not qualified to see.
Yeah.
So
no,
I'm gonna.
You could give him a negative.
I'm going to defer to their professional judgment.
Yeah.
Mike Montgomery. Getting the save,
yeah,
I predicted it in a text to you.
Yes.
You had predicted 8-7, which is an even more awesome prediction.
Yeah, you go plus.
But our prediction game was pretty strong that night, hindsight.
It was. Very strong. I would go plus.
Mike Montgomery, I hated him the first 3 weeks, or 4 weeks even, after the trade deadline. I was like, this guy sucks. But he ends up being a hero. And Joe Smith... has his name nondescript, and he didn't even make the playoff roster.
No, I know.
Like,
I know.
Boy, I don't know who we gave up for him, but I hope that guy doesn't come back to haunt us. I hope that's not a DJ LeMahieu type situation, but I'll take it.
I'm not worried about it now.
All right, John Lester.
You have to give him a plus, and here's the thing. You give him a plus, and you send him home with a note to his parents saying, get him to a sports psychologist. We cannot pay him the money we pay him, and he can't throw to first base.
No, there's no question. I mean,
but he's a plus.
Hayward and Lester have to go and get an apartment somewhere and have a whole team of psychologists come in and straighten their asses out.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, dudes were starting off in the, like, Carl Lewis sprinting position in that Dodgers series.
Yeah.
I mean, they were turning their backs to first base.
Right. Right now,
like
he's
kids, like little kids.
He still won games. He still.
But
did
then they
the
wouldn't
job.
Run.
Dodgers, I couldn't understand. I would just watch and be like, "Just run, just go. You're there. You're halfway there,
dude." I mean, look at the steal in the World Series in Game 7 that Schwarber had.
Yeah, yeah.
And he left way early. Yeah. Talk about somebody not paying attention. That pitcher at the time.
Oh yeah, unbelievable.
Sickening. That guy's having nightmares right now.
Yeah.
Now, I don't recall, I believe he got stranded at second, unfortunately, in that inning, but that was awesome.
Yeah.
So how the Dodgers were not running on Lester, again, he's quick to home, fine. You know, hey, Ross and Contreras.
Yeah, they can
their backdoor
bullets.
Picks.
Oof.
Yeah, they. I mean, that's why the catching core gets a major plus for the pickoffs, etc. But Lester, he's got to straighten that out, because that's, like, so frustrating to watch.
He does, but that's... You know, that's for next year, and that's overall season performance. For the playoffs, he gets a plus for sure.
All right. This Oreo right here, Justin Grimm and Carl Edwards Jr.
I feel like I... Oreo, I want one more in that. That's
oh, that's right.
Oreo.
Well, I'll give you... Well, Hendricks is on the other side of this, so that's...
Okay. Well,
it's like
that
a reverse
seems unfair
Oreo.
To
it's a reverse
package
Oreo.
Him in like that. Because Hendricks, I think, should get his own. I will say... Grimm always makes me nervous and sick to my stomach.
I think he performed as well as he can. So yeah, I'm going to give him a plus only because I was expecting a minus.
Yeah, you give him a plus for that. And you know what, Edwards, I'd give him a plus. He got us right to the doorstep, and he's not the guy you asked to close out. You know, he wasn't in that role.
And he looked cool, even though he did give up a run.
Yeah.
He looked cool.
Yeah,
I think
yeah.
that he's going to be real good.
Yeah, so I would give Edwards Jr. a plus.
And I think I gotta thank Garza for him, right? Didn't he come over in the Garza trade?
I'm trying to remember if he was a Garza trade guy or if he
Dempster.
Was part of the Dempster, because there was those two deals. I think he was the Dempster.
Okay, all right. Well, either way, I'm thanking those dudes.
Yeah.
All right. Gotta go with the professor, and then you know who last.
Yeah.
So, the professor, got to be a plus.
Plus. There's no... Even when Madden took him out in Game 7, he should have let him go. The last pitch he threw was not a ball.
No, he got squeezed. And the only time I agreed with Buck, I think, the whole 3 weeks.
He was so relaxed and composed. He was handling everything. Just let it go, man. Let it go.
Yeah, Joe overmanaged big
Joe,
time.
Yeah, I would give Joe a negative.
Yeah.
Long term, I'm giving him a positive. He broke the curse. I don't want to look back in anger and be one of those guys who's like, yeah, he won a title, but. No, he won the World Series. He's a legend. I'll always clap him whenever he comes back. Absolutely. But if
he fell to pieces
that quiet
in the postseason.
Conversation about how the series played out, he was a negative in the postseason.
No, he definitely was. He started to read his own headlines that he's so brilliant and he knows how to push all the right buttons and he made incredibly bad decisions that his players and the depth of that roster bailed him out. Theo bailed Madden out. Because if that team is a couple of bats short or a couple of timely hits short, his name is Mud.
Yeah.
And there's no more pajama road trips. Because Chicago would be like, you suck. You suck, Madden.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he didn't talk about try not to suck. All right, so the professor gets a plus-plus, and I got to say, he gets a plus-plus for that pickoff throw in Game 7, dude. That pickoff throw, and I noticed this really stuck out to me, and maybe it's always been this way, but it never really was as apparent to me. The throws to second and the pickoff throws, I had never seen thrown to the spot. And then Baez would have to slide to it. And I've never seen that before.
I mean,
when I played, I always threw to the glove and then expected them to tag. But
yeah.
These guys started throwing to a spot and expecting the catch to be made in the spot.
It's almost
and
like
Hendricks and Baez's slide, you know, out at second when he slid into the guy and caught the ball and the ball arrived right when he arrived.
Yeah.
That blew my mind.
It's incredible. It was almost like a timed throw from like a quarterback to a wide receiver.
Yeah, yeah. And had you ever noticed, was that apparent to you as well? Like, I've never really seen that
before.
I've
seen that happen a couple times this year, but I'd never really seen that before this year. It seems these guys have this down. They're that comfortable receiving the ball, throwing the ball. on point.
It before this 3-week stretch, it seemed like it was like happenstance whenever I've seen it. Now it happens so often that I'm like, this is how they teach it. This is the Cubs way.
Right, right. No, it was impressive.
All right, plus minus Chapman.
I am going to go minus.
Oh,
absolutely
such,
go
no,
minus.
No, you hate white wife beaters. And I'm not talking about the shirt either.
No, here's the thing. I will even keep, that I had a problem with us, not even acquiring him. It was the way the club's response to acquiring him and his response to when he was questioned about what happened. The club, we made it clear with him. We're about great personalities, which outside of Chapman, you would believe that by the guys they brought on board. Even with Montero and what he said, he didn't say it until the series was done. They seemed to be able to go out and get great good guys. Then they go out and get this guy, and then his response to why he was brought into town and questioned about his past with his girlfriend and the firing off the gun 8 times and choking her. Oh no, they talked to me about us sleeping. I wasn't paying attention. And then the Cubs are going, oh no, he knew what was going on. It's like, no, he just said he was sleeping. I would have much rather the Cubs been like, look, he's an eligible player. We're trying to win the World Series. I know this may upset some. Go Cubs, go. Mm. I would have actually been fine with that because I would have been like, okay, they're admitting they're willing to be a little bit scummy to win a series, but they're being honest. I thought that whole dog and pony show was such a fraud, it frustrated me. Now, in terms of bringing him in and playing, regular season, what did he do? We were going to win. We were going to have the best record in the National League with or without him. We just were. Okay? He saved, what, 13 games?
Yeah, I want to say at least two. I thought, two or three.
So we weren't going to... We would have gotten those. We weren't going to lose the best record in the National League because of him.
Right, you got him for the playoffs where you need a shutdown closer.
Right, exactly. And you need to win 11 games to win the World Series. Congratulations to Haroldis Chapman because he blew 3 saves. You know, like, you only need to win 11 games. He had 3 blown saves.
Yeah.
He was brought in for that time to be Mariano Rivera.
He kept it close, though. He could have fallen to pieces, and sounds like he was emotionally falling to pieces. He threw, like, 8 consecutive sliders in Game 7, dude. The guy was completely gassed. Again, go back to Joe Maddon.
And part of it
using
could be
him
Joe
unnecessarily
Maddon.
The day before.
Yeah, and
which
look,
I agree with that concept that you have to win Game 6 at all costs to get to Game 7, so you leave it on the field. But they were up 7-1 when he came in.
No, it was stupid how Maddon chose to use him. And I don't know that you can totally hang that on Chapman. But I can't walk away from the fact that he had 3 blown saves in a month where we only needed 11 victories. I can't give him a plus for that, and I can't give him a pass for that.
Yeah, I say we couldn't have won the World Series without him, despite your insistence that, he blew 3 games. But I give him a minus because he cried. I give him a minus because he cried.
Right. Well,
and I give
the same page.
And I give you a minus as a fan for crying.
Oh, and listen, you know you cried too, so you minus yourself up.
No.
My wife, she's making it up.
Okay, all right. So I have 2 predictions, and you give me whatever you've got. Chapman is going to be the new closer of the Mets, 5-year deal, replacing, oddly enough, Familia, who not only had a poor end of the season, but gets a domestic abuse charge just days ago.
I can absolutely see that.
So, Chapman to the Mets. Dave Martinez to his first managerial job, although he was not getting a lot of publicity. There's not been a big buzz around him, but I believe that Theo and Joe and Major League Baseball even will behind the scenes orchestrate a push to get Martinez his first managerial job in order to free up the bench coach role for Grandpa Rossi.
I see that too. I see both of those things happening. More so, I think, rather than going, yes, the Chapman prediction will come true, that absolutely makes sense to me that it could play out that way. But your Martinez-Ross scenario, I see playing out that way as well.
Okay. All right. Cubs are 3-1 favorites by Vegas right now. To repeat, do you agree with that scenario, Jones? Will the Chicago Cubs repeat in 2017? Not done in like 15 years of Major League Baseball.
You have to put them as the favorite, so I think you have to say yes. I mean, you think about, like, look, if Hayward goes back to being a 260 hitter and you find a way to get Schwarber 120 games... and this team is so young, and the pitchers that are over the age of 30, you can figure out if Lackey just falls off next year. I mean, you can always replace a Lackey or a Hamill, but the other guys, they're still close enough to 30, and Hendricks being under 30, I think they're a legit contender to win it again.
That's right.
108 years we waited to be back-to-back champions again.
Yeah, in 1907 and 1908. In 1945, it was the Tigers winning a Game 7 against the Cubs. In 2017, the Cubs will defeat the Tigers in seven games to go back-to-back.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That is... I don't know about that, but that's impressive.
Any predictions from you?
Any predictions from me? I predict that Jason Hayward will largely be a purely bench player.
Wow.
After June 1, and his career will be almost over at that point.
You think he'll go the way of Adam Dunn? He'll just hang it up?
He'll fall apart. Like, I just have a bad feeling that if he plays like he has this year for the first 2 months of this season, and by June 1st, he's done as a player. He's done.
Oh, my God. I think you'll see him bounce back. Maybe not even back to 265, but like 250.
Yeah.
He'll play better. They'll figure out a timing mechanism to somehow get him on track and shorten that long-ass swing. They'll move him closer to the plate. He's got to shorten that swing and get better plate coverage. And he'll figure out a little bit of that. Just a little bit of that. All right. Dexter Fowler, back or gone for big money and not re-signed by the Cubs in 2017, Jones? Because imagine Hayward in center. Imagine what a disaster that would have been.
Right. I feel he's gone.
He will get a huge contract, and he will be gone, and you're looking at Almora Jr. leading off in 2017. I have a bad feeling about that.
I bet you Zobrist leads off.
Okay, yeah.
Zobrist will lead off.
Okay.
Zobrist will play. They'll have to move some things around. They'll have to get creative.
I think you got to put Hayward in center then. And Zobrist and Wright.
Until Almora starts to get more comfortable, then you bump Hayward out, especially if he falters. Almora will get center. Zobrist and Wright, and Schwarber to either left. If he can't pull off the outfield, let's see if he can pull off third base and put Bryant in left field.
Yeah, that's your best prediction
Think about this. If you were to move Schwarber to third base, Chris Bryant to left field, a guy who, let's face it, will probably win the NL MVP. The year that he wins the World Series and the National League MVP, the following season he gets moved.
Permanently.
Yes.
Yeah, that's actually your best prediction, and I actually tried that out and passed it off as one of my own in front of a bunch of guys I'd never met at a party during the playoffs.
Yes.
Like, you write this down. Schwarber at third, and guys were like, what? Their minds are blown. Meanwhile, in the back of my head, I was like, I ripped that off from Jones.
Well, that's fine. What's mine is yours, and what's yours is mine.
Meanwhile,
Lennon and McCartney.
That's right. I appreciate you saying that. My whiskey-addled brain somehow remembered you said that, and I whipped it out.
It's impressive. Maybe you're better on the whiskey. We're both better on the Cubs. Finally.
Will that infernal song continue to be the theme song of the Cubs?
As it should.
Boo!